give them a few seconds here. I hear a couple of feet still moving, so let you find your place in the Bible. Luke chapter 1, 39 through 56. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house.
I always enjoy coming up with a beautiful drive this morning. And God has given me help and given me the ability to continue to minister. And I turned 80 last September, and I just feel better than I did. I told somebody the other day, I feel like I'm 70 again. Now, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I think I'm going to just allow God to decide that and give me opportunities to serve, because serving the Lord gives me joy. And I love the sign up above and the music that we've sung. And I just thought, when I got the call from your pastor, he said he'd like to have me come up because their family is going to be celebrating Christmas. And I thought, boy, I'm going to continue to do what God has given me, to give the people here the message about the way to joy. The joy that Jesus talks about in his Gospel of John, and if you got a pencil or pen, you might want to write this down, because this is where this all began. When I turned 70, I retired from the church in Mozambique, and then I began to work for Dr. Perry, the district, and then about 3 years ago, things changed there, so I said, can I just become a missionary to the 15 churches, become a pastor to the more than 22 pastors now, become a consultant, just a friend, and do what God enables me to do, and to do it as long as I can. And I will just accept whatever God gives me through the churches, and your church supports me, and I thank you for that. And it's been really a good thing, because, you know, most pastors will say, I've never had a pastor. And it's hard when you get involved in ministry to have somebody who's been there, who's done that, who's made some mistakes, has learned, and be there and available, can I talk? And I'll be doing that this coming Tuesday with one of our pastors. But as we begin our our service today, and as Tim read the portion of the beginning of the birth of Christ, I would like to take us to John chapter 17, verse 13, because now we're coming to the end of his ministry, and he's praying and getting ready for the time when they'll take him captive and move him towards the cross. And in this prayer that we find in John 16, 17, verse 13 says, And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And the joy that Jesus was talking about is the joy that we're going to talk about today. You know, there are things we can do, and there are moments in our lives. You know, we just had the birth of our sixth great-grandchild, and that brought joy to our life. But there's something so much more when you receive the joy that God gives to us. You know, joy is a feeling. And it's a feeling deep down in our being that God is present. God is pleased with what we have done. We've done something to please Him. God's power comes into our lives when we've got ourselves into something that we say, boy, I don't think I can do this. I've never done that before. And then God begins to give us the strength and the power to do something. And then we begin to experience that peace that God can give us in the difficult times of life. And I was sharing with some before the service today that it's been a little over a year now since I had major back surgery, and it took almost a year before my strength is now coming back and my balance is getting better. We're going to do some things to try to get that even better. And my mind is, I think it's okay. My wife is not so sure sometimes, but I think it's okay. But it's good. But what I'm going to do this morning, and I'll try to move us along quickly, there was an outline that was at the back, and I hope most of you have gotten it, because you can take it home, and you can kind of go through this on your own, because this is so important. You sung the song, there is joy in serving Jesus. And I want us to think about what that means for us today, and as Terry talked about, the opportunities to serve Jesus, to represent Him in front of people who don't know Him, who don't understand His love, don't understand the peace that He gives, that we really want to figure that out. And I've had to do that today. It was about, maybe 6 months ago, a pastor called me, and he said, you know, I've been reading my Bible, and every time Jesus is about to do something, He thanks God. He thanks His Father. And I said, well, can you talk to me about that? So we began to do a study together. And out of that study, this message came, and I want to share that with you today. You know, joy is a feeling given by the Holy Spirit. When we come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God says, I want to do two things for you. I want you to know that I'm going to give you a gift or two, and the gifts of the Spirit are about ministry. But then it says, I also want you to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is about maturity, becoming more like Jesus. And if you read in Galatians 5, Paul says, I want you to understand that the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, and it goes on down the list. And that's about maturity. And we're going to think about how do we begin to grow more into the person that God wants us to be. I'm working on a new sermon right now on the way to holiness, and what does holiness really mean for us in the world in which we live today. So maybe down the road I'll be able to come up and share that with you. If you look at your outline, the first point is joy is given to those who qualify. Now we've read some of the verses today, and I don't need to read them again, but in Luke chapter 1, we see two people who qualify for joy. And the first person was Elizabeth. And you read about, you know, Elizabeth and her husband, Zacharias. And he was, you know, doing the thing that he was supposed to do in the temple at that time. And an angel shows up and tells him that something special is going to happen. And, you know, in Zacharias' understanding, at my age, my wife and I are too old to have children. But wouldn't it be great to have a child, and we'll call him Zacharias Junior? That's what they did in those times. And God says, no, you're not going to call him Zacharias Junior. You're going to call him Jesus. And Zacharias wasn't real sure he wanted to do that. So what did the Lord do? He shut his mouth. He couldn't talk until the time came when he could say, no, his name will be Jesus. And then Elizabeth was at home. And, you know, all of this was kind of, is this really true? You know, I am pregnant. What is really going on here? And then Mary shows up and spends 3 months with her. And when Mary showed up and came into the house, John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth began to jump with joy. And what an emotional time that must have been. And then when Mary goes through that process and she begins to understand what God has done, and a teenager who God says, I know you got your plans. I know you're going to marry Joseph. I know you think you're going to do all of these things. But before you start your life with Joseph, I want you to bear my son. And I think Mary was wondering, what does that mean? But both Elizabeth and Mary qualified. Why? Because they said yes to God. They didn't understand it, but they said yes to God. And that's when joy comes, when we begin to understand that we too can say yes to God. And then God begins to do something that's far beyond what we ever thought he could do in and through our lives. You know, Psalm 89, verses 15 to 16 read, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." And I hope each one of you understands that you qualify to not only hear the word of God, because God has given you ears to hear, but you qualify to do something that you had never even thought that you could do. You know, you look at this guy here. You know, and I think most of you who know me know that I'm an alcoholic. In the 60s, I was managing a supermarket in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and life was good, and, you know, I had a good job, and I'd just been promoted, and then God says, "No, I want you to serve me." And boy, everything began to fall apart. And then after 48 years of understanding what God says I can do in and through you, if you will enable me to help you, if you will allow my Holy Spirit to empower you, I am so glad that I said yes. Amen. I am so glad that I Amen. Said yes. When I'm coming to the end of my life, there is no greater joy than knowing that I can still serve the Lord when I hear him and know that he will enable me to do everything that he asks me to do. Amen. So we want to know, do we qualify? If you qualify, if you know Jesus, if you accepted him into your life, if you've been able to be born of the Spirit and he has given you ears to hear God and he's given you the grace, he will give you the grace to say yes and to do what he's going to ask you to do. My second point is joy is possible only to those who pursue God's will for their lives. You know, Hebrews 12:2 is key to what enabled Jesus to fulfill God's will for his life. Because that was hard. I mean, he went through some unbelievable times of torture and pain. But he hung in there. Why did he hang in there? Hebrews 12:2. Talking about faith. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was able to fulfill his mission because of the joy that was before him, that when he had finished his work, he would be raised up and be seated at the right hand of the Father. And he would have that powerful place, and he would enable us to know righteousness and to become more like him through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. So he finished the work because he knew that when it was all over, his Father would be so pleased and he would be given the reward for what God had promised to do in his life. We see that with Mary as well. We heard that read, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord, that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." How many of you have seen the movie Rudy? Anybody? All right. This summer it was raining and I was home and my wife said, "Let's just find an old movie on the TV." And we saw the movie Rudy. I'd never seen it before, and I'm so glad I watched it. But this will apply to what we're talking about. You know, Rudy was a young man, high schooler, good football player from Joliet, Illinois. He went to a Catholic high school. He really was a great athlete, but he struggled with grades. But Rudy had a dream. His father loved Notre Dame, and they were really a devout Catholic family. So when it came time to go to watch the Notre Dame Irish play, boy, they went and they just had a great time. But Rudy said one time, "Dad, wouldn't it be great if I could be able to run out on the football field with the Notre Dame Irish football team for one time, and you would just get that joy of watching me run out on the field?" You see, Rudy was only 165 pounds, about 5'7". And he was all conference in high school, but he wasn't really big enough to make the first team for any football team. But when he graduated from high school, he said, "Dad, someday you're going to watch me run out on the field with the Notre Dame Irish football team." His brother was a skeptic, and he laughed, and he said, "That'll never happen, Rudy." Well, Rudy, when he got out of high school, he applied for Notre Dame and found out that his grades weren't good enough. So he went to Holy Cross, and at Holy Cross, they discovered that he had dyslexia. So they began to give him help with his learning abilities and help him to turn things around so that he could read and understand better. And it was in his junior year of college that he was able to go to Notre Dame. But he wasn't big enough. He wasn't strong enough to make the team. So he thought, "I'll bet you I could make the practice squad. And maybe if I did that, there would be at least one game where I could run out on the field and my dad would be so happy." And so he made the practice squad. The coach told him that there was going to be a lot of pain because they were really going to hit him hard. For him to try to tackle one of these big football players, it wasn't going to be fun some of the time. But Rudy said, "I believe that if I work hard and I pay the price, I will be able to run out on the field and my dad will see me." Well, Rudy was also a Catholic, a devout Catholic, so he went to the church. He met with a priest, and he asked the priest to pray for him. He kept coming in, and it just wasn't happening. He wasn't able to get that right to run out in the field. And one day the priest came and said, "Rudy, how can I help you?" And Rudy says, "Well, Father, we've been praying about this, but God doesn't seem to be listening." He says, "What's going on?" And the priest says, "Well, Rudy, I've been a priest for a long time, and there's two things I know. One is, I know there is a God. Secondly, I know I'm not him." He said, "I don't understand these things either." Well, it came to the last game of the year, and Rudy said, "That's never going to happen," so he decided to quit the team. And a friend on the team came and asked, told Rudy, "You can't quit now. Maybe this last game, you will be able to run out on the field." Well, it so happened that the Notre Dame football team understood Rudy's desire, his dream. So one by one, they went into the coach and they said, "If Rudy doesn't come out on the field with us this next Saturday, I'm not playing." And one of them was an All-American. He said, "I'm sorry, coach, I'm not playing." Well, finally, the coach got the message. You might know his name, Dan Devine. He was a Green Bay Packer. And he says, okay, we'll let him go out on the field, but that's all we'll let him do. Well, when Rudy came out on the field with the football team, they showed the picture of his mom and his dad, but his dad was just beaming. He was so proud of his son. And it so happened that with about less than a minute to go, the player said, Rudy, coach, let him play. Because they were quite a ways ahead. So they let him go out. It was less than a minute to play. He not only got to be there on the kickoff, but he tackled the quarterback the last play of the game. And the players picked him up on their shoulders, and they carried him out. And the sound of Rudy was just filling the air. And they didn't do that. He had never done that before at Notre Dame. And they only did it one other time, and that was 20 years later. And I thought, you know, Rudy was willing to pay the price to please his father and give his father that opportunity to say, "Son, I'm so proud of you. You bring joy to my life." And I thought, kind of, can I apply that to us as God's children? Can we say, "I am going to do whatever God asks me to do, even though it may be hard, even though it may cause pain, because when I see him face to face, I want to hear those words, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' And there will be such joy, it's going to overwhelm me." Yeah. Now, there was a moment I thought, when I get to heaven, maybe God will have the angels pick me up on their shoulders and they'll say, Dwayne. And I said, "No, that's too much. That's not going to work." But there is going to be a time when we're going to say, "Jesus, I came, I show you that I loved you by the way that I served you, and that brought joy to my life." Now, the last two points, and I want to move these quickly, but not too quickly, because these are really, really, really so important for you to understand, because they took me a while. Joy comes to those who cultivate a thankful heart. Bible says in Ephesians 5:20 that we're supposed to thank God for all things. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So God wants us to cultivate a thankful heart. And you know, as I began to work that through, you know why that's important? Because the Bible says that God is sovereign. And he has complete control of my life.
Amen.
And whatever happens, I need to thank him in it. I need to thank him for it, or I will miss out on the joy that God will give me when the work is done. When I was doing this study, I came upon a book by Ann Voskamp, 1,000 Gifts. I don't know if any of you read it, but it's worth the read. It really is worth it. It's hard because she writes in pictures, and you have to really think it through. But Ann was a farmer's wife going through a really hard time in his life with the death of some animals, the death of a relative, and she was really down. And she went to a seminar with a woman who was speaking, and she met with the woman afterwards, and she said, I just don't have any joy in my life. And the woman says, you know what's wrong? You haven't understood what it means to be thankful in all things and to be thankful for all things. And the woman says, you know, Ann, I want you to do something for me. I want you to begin to pray with your eyes wide open. I want you to spend your days just looking around you and thanking God for all of the things that he has given to you, all the opportunities that he's given to you. And Ann says she began to do that, and she went into a supermarket, and she just stood there, and she thanked God for all the stuff, almost too much stuff. When you got 5, 6, 7, 8 kinds of varieties, it's kind of hard. But all of these things that God has provided for her, and then she began to pray with her eyes wide open. I don't know if you've done that, but I've been doing that since I read the book. And I'll tell you, the opportunities that God gives me to help somebody, you know, to go to the supermarket and to see somebody that just needs the help, and somebody says, "Can I can't reach that," so you reach it for them. It just brings joy because God has allowed you to do something. And of course, most of you all know me. I've been there 35 years. But I think it's really good to do that. And how can I serve you today? I'm going to ask you to show me a person that I can help. Now, last week, my wife and I, my wife received a call. There was one of the ladies in her life group. She has 15 women in her life group. And one of the women called and said she went out to put salt on her sidewalk and slipped and fell and broke her leg. And my wife said, oh, man, I said, I'll bring a meal. So she prepared a meal, and I took my wife over, and she opened the door, and I said, can I take it in? Oh, she says, I can do it. She opened the door. She got out. I looked ahead just for a second. I looked to the right, and she was gone. And I thought, oh, no, she has fallen. And she did. She fell, and she hurt her shoulder, so we're going to have some x-rays done tomorrow. But still, when she got into the house and gave the food to this gal, there was such joy and tears and thank you. That was such a good thing to do. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Sometimes it may be the way that you can help, the way that you can give, the way that you can be involved. But there's so much good about learning to cultivate a thankful heart. Because God is good.
Amen.
All the time. Amen?
Amen.
All the time God is good. We used to do that when I was a pastor all the time. We just remind people that God is good. God loves you. He's not punishing you. You know, you had this accident. The accident happened, but God will be good. He will help you. He will bring you through this. But you need to learn to cultivate a thankful heart. And my last point, and this is probably the most important, because I struggle with this. Pastors struggle with this. I think most of you struggle with this. Humility before God is key to feeling the joy of the Lord. You got to stay humble before God. You've got to stay humble and get a hold of what it means that, you know, I am just a servant. And what does it say in the scriptures in Philippians 2:5-8? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself to be of no reputation. Literally, that means made himself nothing. God the Son came down and made himself nothing for you and for me. And he took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Now, Jesus has set the pattern. He says, you know how God can best use you? If you become nothing and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I am your servant. Because it's so easy to look down on someone. And I tell you, things have changed so in the last 10 years or so in America. And I think, you know, in the 60s, and I was managing a supermarket in the African-American part of Cedar Rapids, and there were riots and there was stuff going on, but I thought we'd gotten away from that and we're sliding right back into it, maybe worse. But we need to learn to look up at people, no matter who they are or what they're doing. They are someone for whom Christ died. And we need to give them that understanding that how can I help you, no matter what it is, no matter what it is. Because if we don't really enjoy the life that God has given us to live. Luke 1:46-48, and Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And I put on your outline, if you will live a life that is pleasing to God, which is the life of being a servant, of being humble, of being nobody, even when, you know, you think you are somebody, God will show up and enable you to experience his presence, his pleasure, his power, and his peace, and all these gifts will bring joy to your heart. Martin Luther once wrote, God created the world out of nothing, and as long as we are nothing, he can create something out of us. I was going to Rhinelander, I can't remember the month, it was just last summer, to spend some time with Pastor Rob there. And I was listening to 88.1, I love 88.1, and it was a request time. And I was on Highway 8, almost to Rhinelander, and somebody requested a song I had never heard of. And now I've looked it up and I've read it, because it is a fun song. But it really expresses what I think God wants us to understand today. Excuse me. Have you heard it? I'm drinking from my saucer. Anybody heard that?
Yes.
I had never heard it, and I loved it. Let me just read part of it for you. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. It comes from Psalm 23, verse 5. You know, I never did make my fortune, and I guess it's a little late now, but I never did worry about that much. No, shoot, I was happy anyhow, because you see, as I have journeyed down life's road, I have reaped a lot more than I've sowed, and I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Amen. No, I'm not a man of riches, no, sir, and sometimes the going gets kind of rough. But I've got me a good family, an old horse and a dog. They all love me. Well, that makes me rich enough. I thank the Lord for all these blessings, the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And I've had lots of times when it seemed everything went wrong. I could feel my faith get well just a little bit thin. But the rain would stop and dark clouds would roll away. The sun would come shining right back down in my life again. So, Lord, don't let me gripe too much about the rough now I've hoed, because I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. And now, Lord, if you can just give me the strength I need and the courage when that old road gets steep and rough, I'll not ask for any other blessing, because I've been blessed more than enough. And Lord, don't ever let me get so busy I can't help another with his load. And I just keep drinking from my saucer, because my cup is overflowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. I did a funeral just about 2 weeks ago from a guy who loved country western, and he had his own band for a while. And one Sunday his wife said, "Can my husband come up and sing a song? He really wants to sing it." And I said, "Okay." Kind of a risk, because I didn't know what he was going to sing. But he came up, and the song that he sang was, "Kick me, sweet Jesus, through the goalposts of life." And I said, "That's kind of hard to preach from, but you know, we can kind of understand what that means." But I hope this week, this year, 2017, you'll find yourself drinking from your saucer.
Amen.
When you experience the joy that comes from serving Jesus, from helping whatever God calls you to do. Terry just talked about an opportunity. How can we do things for the Lord? You know, I'm a shy old guy, and that's why I used to drink, because that loosened me up. But God has loosened me up with His Holy Spirit, the new wine, more than I ever thought possible.
Amen.
And I think this year is going to be great for me. I'm going to be praying with my eyes wide open.
Amen.
And I'm going to be finding ways to serve people along the way. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gift of your Son. I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit as He gives us gifts that enables us to be a part of your body of Christ and to serve. But He also gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And as we grow in our ability to love as Jesus loved us, our ability to experience the joy that comes from serving, even though it may cost more than we ever thought we'd have to pay, but also that peace that passes all understanding. So, Father, enable each one here today to understand how special they are to you, and enable them this year to really find ways to say, "God, thank you for using me. Thank you for the joy that comes when I hear your voice saying, thank you, well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.